Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Since the Democrat judge in the Trump persecution in New York, Lee, we can't really call it a prosecution.
No.
It's not really what it is.
No.
Since the Democrat judge won't let Trump leave, which is, you know, of course, being done to help Joe Biden. None of this has anything to do with legal anything. Trump is stuck there in New York. He can't go to swing states. So he's trying to figure out, like, what do I do when it lets out for lunch to campaign? Because that's the whole purpose of this. It's one of the purposes anyway, is to keep him from hitting the campaign trail for 8 weeks, which is an eternity during a presidential election. So what did Trump do? It's actually kind of brilliant. He went to the bodega, you know, where the innocent, you know, clerk working behind the counter,
who was defending himself,
was stabbed by a Democrat voter.
Yep.
And the Democrat voter stabs him. He defends himself, ends up killing the guy, and he gets prosecuted.
Oh, yeah.
Because you do not stab a Democrat voter. You just lie there and die.
Well, that could be a persecution, too.
Anyway, it was a persecution. And remember, Alvin Bragg actually charged him, and he was thinking about fleeing to his native country where they have, it's really makes a lot more sense there. I think it was, I can't remember where he's from. It's like Guatemala or Colombia or something. But he was thinking about fleeing back there. And eventually we got him out of Rikers. Remember, because everybody was so upset about this. Like, how on earth do you get charged with murder for defending yourself? Yeah. Only in New York. I don't know.
I mean, this is on video.
Yeah, so there's no doubt about it. Well, that got too embarrassing for the Democrats. They had to dial it down. So Trump, I mean, he can't walk far because he's under the control of this corrupt Democrat judge who is himself a criminal. And so Trump has been like picking out sites like the bodega and standing in front of them and talking about Democrat policies and how the whole country is going to live in complete chaos and anarchy if the Democrats ever get any kind of real power at the national level. So that's what he's been reduced to do. It's not a bad campaign strategy.
It's brilliant, actually. It's absolutely brilliant. And you know what? If this were a Democrat doing this when they were being persecuted by Republicans, the media would be bragging about what a brilliant move this is. And this is absolutely brilliant to do this.
Yeah, it is. But again, a Democrat would never be persecuted by
Republicans. No, of course not. That would not happen.
No, that would not happen. It wouldn't be tolerated.
No.
I mean, if this was Democrats, I mean, are you kidding me? Things would be burning in whatever city. Literally, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Things would be, blocks of businesses would be burning in whatever city we were trying them, even if it was legitimate. And the protests would go on day and night, and the jurors would have to hear the protest outside.
And most Republican prosecutors wouldn't do this because they actually try to uphold the rule of law.
Right, right. So, yeah, you wouldn't have that happen. So this is brilliant that Trump is doing this. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is walking. I can't believe he is on a tour to promote how great his economy is.
He's in his safe place, too. He's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
I realize that's a battleground state, but he claims, you know, Scranton to be his like hometown stuff. He's the homeboy there. So it's like, okay, so you're hanging out for 3 days and you're basically what you're claiming is your home state,
yes,
even though Delaware is actually where you're from. But anyway.
And he's now saying he will lower inflation costs by getting corporate profits under control. So he's going to make American companies unprofitable. That's his economic plan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how illiterate that sounds? That just, you're okay, you're going to get inflation under control by making American companies unprofitable?
Right.
Weird, because under Trump, American companies were profitable and inflation was under control. So there must be something else going on there. It can't be the corporate profits. Because we somehow managed to have 1.4, 1.5% inflation under Trump. Now it's basically triple that. You could tell me corporations didn't make profits under Trump because they did. Mm-hmm. I fondly remember that stock market. Yeah. So I don't think that's what's going on here. Remember when Joe Biden said inflation was his top domestic policy? I mean, that was his big thing.
I want every American to know that I'm taking inflation very seriously, and it's my top domestic priority.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's not going so well. And, you know, Fed Chairman Powell has been trying to cover that up for Joe Biden for a long time, but we finally reached the point where he can't lie about it anymore. And so he's having to admit, yeah, unfortunately, we are not winning the fight on inflation. And so that was kind of devastating yesterday for Powell to admit that. Not good for Joe Biden. And look, I've been seeing for, gosh, I don't know, over a year, look, these rates are not coming down if we keep spending. It's not, the inflation's not going away if we keep spending. And sure enough, inflation not going away. So I think that Powell has just been lying for years so that, you know, people would get off Joe Biden's back. But the chickens have come home to roost. You can't lie about it anymore. Inflation is clearly here with us, and it's not going, I mean, it's not going anywhere. So it's frustrating. But, you know, what this shows you is that Joe Biden has no plan to do anything seriously about inflation.
No.
I mean, if his plan is, I'm going to attack corporate profit, that is his plan. Well, that's not going to solve the problem, which means we're not getting any inflation relief of any kind. All we're getting is more lies and more dodges. And if you elect Joe Biden, we're going to have to live this way. This is how we're going to be broke. Anyway, here is Chairman Powell admitting, guess what? The inflation is, we're going to have to live with it for a while longer.
A lack of further progress so far this year on returning to our 2% inflation goal.
Yeah, lack of progress. So that was Joe's main domestic priority. He didn't accomplish it. And Americans are living with the result of that. And we're going to continue living with the result of it.
For a long, long time.
And part of this is admitting why we have inflation. It's treated sort of like a UFO by the media, by the liberal media. Like, wow, where'd that come from? Did you see that? I don't know. I didn't see that either. Wow, why did it come? No, it's totally unexpected. What caused it? I don't know. Well, it's the spending. It's specifically deficit spending and printing of money. And when you have two political parties that will not admit that's what's causing it, it's not going to stop.
Well, when you have liberals who say that a tax cut cost money. No. A tax cut doesn't cost money. That's just money the government is not going to get because the American people who earn that money are going to keep that money. So it's not costing money. It's not costing. It is something that the American people are able to keep. And of course, whenever you cut taxes, what happens, Tara? Economic activity always increases, which means more tax revenue to the Department of Treasury. It happens every time it's tried.
Oh, yeah. Happened under Trump.
And Reagan and Kennedy.
Yep.
John F. Kennedy did that and cut taxes and increased the amount of money to the Treasury in the process.
Yep. So as Joe Biden, I just love that he's on the economic promotion tour as his Federal Reserve Secretary chairman is trying to, you know, finally has to admit, hey, we didn't win the fight on inflation. We're not going to cut rates this year, which means, I mean, we don't really have a real estate industry right now in terms of home sales. As so many people are trapped in their homes, they either want to upsize or downsize, but they can't because you know, inflation, number one, the cost, but the main thing is just the interest rates. So what does this mean? We're not going to have a real estate industry as long as the Democrats and Mike, you know, Johnson keep printing money. So unfortunately, what this means is we're stuck here. Nothing's changing right now. It's not going to get better. And that's basically what we learned yesterday. So coming up in the next segment, something really remarkable that blows me away this morning. I think it's the biggest story this morning is I'm going to tell you what the International Monetary Fund just warned us because they are a big liberal globalist institution. This ain't the Heritage Foundation. And they've got a chilling warning for the United States of America. You got to stop printing money. You have to. You can't keep doing it, or I'll tell you, coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
So we got these comments from Fed Chair Jerome Powell, and it seems to be at odds with what we've heard from President Biden. Watch the Fed chairman first.
We'll need greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%. Data shows solid growth and continued strength in the labor market, but also a lack of further progress so far this year on returning to our 2% inflation goal.
Remember the March consumer price inflation read? That came in at 3.5% year over year, a 0.4% jump month to month. So you compare Powell's take on inflation with Karine Jean-Pierre's view. Watch.
Yeah, she just lies. We don't need to hear it. So anyway, whoa. Okay, so this is how it went. They lied. They said, hey, inflation's transitory. It'll go away. Hey, we can totally print $1 trillion more. They covered for Joe Biden so they could print the second tranche of $1 trillion. So we were up to $2 trillion printed, right? You got massive inflation, 9%. They lied to give Joey one more print on the printing press, and it caught fire. It was smoking. It was vibrating. As Larry Summers begged them to stop, and they were going to cause inflation, but Democrats didn't give a damn. So they just printed more money. Because it's good times, right? Spread it among your friends. More mansions pop up like mushrooms around D.C. Everybody's happy except people trying to pay for food in the grocery store, okay? Well, they needed a better lie, a bigger, better lie. Like in Jaws, they needed a bigger, better boat. So what did they do? Well, they lied. They sent Chairman Powell out to lie. Oh, yeah, no, inflation's going to be under control. We're going to lower interest rates later this year. That the interest rates would be lowered in 24 was taken as an article of faith. It has been repeated, well, all the way through 23. It's going to get great. It's going to be great. Well, Chairman Powell yesterday couldn't hide the truth anymore. We didn't defeat inflation, not even close. There's not going to be a rate cut, so there's really not going to be a real estate market. Sorry about that. Yeah, not having a real estate market is kind of one of those things that goes along with printing too much money. And that comes along as Joe Biden is on the campaign trail campaigning on how great the economy is. And his Federal Reserve chairman is saying it ain't actually that great. We're not defeating inflation. The IMF said something that dropped my jaw this morning. The IMF is the International Monetary Fund, okay? It is a big globalist organization. This ain't the Heritage Foundation. And when Bloomberg writes this, the IMF is warning America, especially the economic illiterates in Congress, you got to stop. You can't print anymore. Stop with the ballooning debt. When they're saying it, wow. Headline, Bloomberg, IMF, International Monetary Fund, steps up its warning to U.S. over spending and ballooning debt. What do they say? I could spend the rest of the show on this, just this article, because the admissions here are incredible. We never speak the truth. The globalists never speak the truth. The media, especially not the financial media, never speaks the truth, not ever. So for them to do it is always noteworthy. But what they said in this article was, hey, we've all loved that zipped up U.S. economy. They're talking about the stock market, not the prices in the grocery store. It's been great, but it's fake. What? Yeah, it's fake. It's all based on printing and borrowing. It's not real. And while we've all enjoyed the fake pride and the fake profits, we're going to have to stop printing now. Yes, America has to stop printing now because we're on what? Unsustainable fiscal policy, they said. This is amazing. They admit that the economy is not real. It's all fake. It's based off the pumped up printing. The exceptional recent performance of the United States is certainly impressive, the IMF writes, but it reflects strong demand factors, including a fiscal stance that is out of line with long-term fiscal sustainability. In other words, y'all can't keep printing money forever. It's going to crash. You're going to debase your currency. Wow. I can't believe they admitted that. Washington's overspending, the report says, risks reigniting inflation. Well, it already did. And undermining long-term fiscal and financial stability around the world by ratcheting up global funding costs. Okay, what are they saying here? This is what I was trying to explain to my liberal toxic troll friend the other day, the idiot on the text line, who was saying, well, you know, there's inflation in other places, so it's not Biden's fault. Yes, it is. What they're saying here is, when America prints and borrows and debases its currency, what happens? The dollars, just that massive tranche of dollars we keep throwing out there, it doesn't stop at our borders. It goes out into the world and it causes inflation and it causes high borrowing prices and it causes pain and it causes people not to be able to buy homes and it causes people not to be able to afford food. So what the IMF is saying to America is like, hey, we loved investing in your super fake stock market based on super fake returns from your super fake printing. Stop it now. The world can't take it. Stop it. And not only can the world not take it, we can't take it. It's not sustainable, they said. Quote, listen to this. Something will have to give, unquote. U.S. deficit spending has been driven in recent years by COVID-related stimulus, in other words, printed money. And they're saying, oh, that's great. But then they're pointing out, hey, y'all are on track to double your debt between 2023 and 2033. That's a 100% increase. And that's not sustainable. That's not sustainable. What does that mean? Well, this was couched as a warning. You can't keep doing this. Okay, here's where this, and this is what makes it so remarkable, okay? The IMF sounds like the Republican Freedom Caucus in Congress. And they're not. They are liberals. They are globalist liberals, World Economic Forum all the way. But they're like, whoa, this is going to crash. The world economic system is too intertwined. You can't keep doing this. And yet in Washington, if you speak this way, you're considered an absolute idiot. There are roughly 15 to 19 votes to stop this kind of spending right now. And unfortunately, the Speaker of the Republican Party is not one of them. No one in Congress talks this way. If you say, hey, can we cut? They yell, shut down. And you plunge in the polls. So what they're doing is they're begging Republicans, stop it. Stop the spending. Democrats, stop it. Stop the spending. As Mike Johnson wanders around with a rubber stamp and just rubber stamps, he's the Republican speaker, whatever the heck the Democrats want to do to break the Treasury. This is the IMF pointedly, plainly saying, you guys can't do it anymore. You got to stop. You got to stop. And what they're saying is, oh, you're driving up lending prices in the world. Well, that sounds like a snooze fest. What does that mean? It means just to contain the inflation, America and Congress is creating worldwide with their printing press. Everybody's rates have to be high. Nobody can afford a house. No one's ever going to be able to afford a house. And by the way, that's what this says. When Powell says, we're not going to be able to lower rates, I mean, that's kind of a snooze fest, right? What does that mean? It means there's a reason the Canadian police wrote a whole report on the violence that might break out when this generation realizes they're never going to buy a house. Remember that report? The secret Canadian police report that leaked? Oh, it was last week? It was in the UK Daily Mail. They're worried. They're planning their on-the-street response to when this generation realizes they'll never be able to afford a house. Why? Because they spent all the damn money. We did. Canada did. It was fake. They printed it. You think that's not relevant for here? It's relevant. Our inflation roughly tracks theirs. In other words, that same report exists in America somewhere. What do we do when they realize we've lied? What do they do when they realize what it means when Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Fed, says, hey, we can't lower interest rates. You want to know what the next truth is? You want to know what it is? I'll tell you before you see it, before you hear it. We can't ever lower interest rates, ever, and keep printing this way, ever. And what does that mean? This generation will not own a home, not in their 20s, not in their 30s, and not in their 40s. American dream's dead. And the IMF is very gently trying to say, hey, guys, you're going to have to stop this spending. But in Washington, they cannot hear it. They're just pure cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, including the Republican leadership. It's got to stop, folks. Got to stop. I don't know where it's going to stop. Good morning. Joining me now, Congressman William Timmons, District 4, in a hot race with Adam Morgan right now. Representative Timmons, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Yeah, I'm thrilled to have you on because I want to kind of understand what's going on right now with, if anything, with you and the TSA. A lot of folks buzzing about an incident, supposedly, in at GSU at the Greenville Airport, if I understand correctly, I'm quoting Fitz News, where something happened between you and the TSA, and that resulted in a complaint filed by you in Washington, D.C., and they say they're using FOIA to try to find out what happened. But why don't you just tell us this morning, Congressman?
Yeah, well, so one, there's a lot of misinformation out there. I definitely didn't file a complaint, but this is the issue. I've been randomly selected for additional screening about a half dozen times in the last 6 or 8 months. So one, that just doesn't seem right. Number two, when I am randomly selected, the protocols that they use have been very different. So this past Tuesday, when I was flying to D.C. for votes, I was going through the metal detector and it went off and they said, you've been randomly selected for additional screening. And I said, well, can I go through the more accurate machine? And they said, no, you have to get a physical pat down. I said, well, I don't want a physical pat down. What are our options? And in other instances, they've offered a private screening with no physical contact. And I said, well, I don't want to get this pat down. And they said, well, you have to. And so we went back and forth on that. And then I said, well, look, I don't think that that's the protocol, but cool. So I let them do the pat down. Then I got on the plane and I was actually fortunate to be able to meet with the TSA administrator. And the TSA administrator confirmed, and I think it's important for all of your listeners, if you don't want a physical pat-down, you're actually entitled to a private screening with no physical contact. So, the good news is this isn't going to happen again because I now literally know the exact regulations referenced. But, if this happens to me, it definitely happens to people that listen to your show. So, going forward, if you do not want to get a physical pat-down, you are entitled to a private screening without physical contact. So, look, the TSA agents are doing everything they can to keep us safe, but I do think there's a balance between privacy and safety, just like the FISA vote, where there's a balance between liberty and security. And it's the same thing. The government is going too far on one side, and we need to make sure that we're respecting our citizens' rights. Again, it's a non-issue. There's a lot of misinformation out there, but I think it's important for your listeners to know that they do have rights as it relates to going to TSA.
Can I ask you about there's a lot of stuff that's going around out there, and William Timmons, I have some sympathy for you because every time I fly, I have that happen, and every talk radio show host I know has the same thing happen. I know I'm on a list. And I know I'm being harassed. I get it. I know that feeling that you're talking about when you got you just know this can't happen. And not only that, it happens to my kids. It happens to my dad. It happens to whoever's flying with me. Okay. So I have some sympathy for what you're talking about. But here's my question for you though. The way the story has been that I've gotten on background was that you kind of got heated with the TSA. The word that is being used is berserk. You went berserk. Will I see that on a video or no? Were you very polite?
That's ridiculous. Again, I said, I want to go through the more advanced machine. They said, mm-hmm. No. And then I said, I do not want a physical pat down. They said, you have to. And I said, that is not the protocol because I didn't think it was. And again, that was not the protocol. I was entitled to additional screening. So no, I did not go berserk, but I didn't want to receive a physical pat down, which again is very reasonable, especially since it's the sixth one I've had in, it's got to be 6 or 8 months. And I had this conversation with a number of members last night as we were voting. And a number of members think that they're on a list because of their vote not to certify the election and, their conservative outspokenness. So I'm not saying that that's the case, but statistically speaking, if I'm getting randomly selected 6 times in the last, 8 months, That doesn't seem very random to me.
And again, I certainly can commiserate with you because I'm on that same program, William Timmons. And I know it's, I mean, I know it's punitive. So if Fitz News gets that video, then we will not see you being rude or raising your voice or anything like that with the TSA.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Look, we had a disagreement because they were not abiding by protocol. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I was entitled to a private screening, and they were not technically allowed to do what they did. So was I annoyed? Sure. But I think anybody would be annoyed. And again, now that I know the exact regulation number, fortunately, it'll never happen again. But yeah, look, it was a non-incident. And I think silly season campaigns, there's a lot of lying going on and a lot of misrepresenting the truth. So I'm sure there'll be more of that. But look, it was a very mild incident where we disagreed on protocol. And in the end, the TSA administrator confirmed that I was not required to get a physical pat down. So, you know, it is what it is. But hey, look, the most important thing is your listeners need to know that if they're randomly selected for additional screening, they can ask for a private screening where they are not forcibly touched. So that's the most important thing. And again, silly season, I've seen some crazy stuff online. I mean, look, there's some people out there that need a little bit of help, but it was a non-issue.
So William Timmons, I'm curious, you did though, before you found out you didn't actually have to get the screening, they told you you did, you got the screening. Can you give us an idea of what kind of screening that you got? Because some of these can be very, very offensive. I know I've had them. Super invasive just, screening?
Yeah, they're invasive, back of the hand, all around the middle area of the body. And
yeah.
I mean, look, they're essentially looking for people that are hiding weapons in their groin. And, you know, I get it. They have to create protocols to make sure that they are keeping us safe, but there's a balance, and that balance needs to respect people's privacy. And if they don't want to be forced to be physically touched, they should be allowed to have a private screening, which again is the protocol. The protocol is if you say you do not want to be physically touched, they have to offer you a private screening where there will be no physical contact. So, I mean, honestly, the TSA protocol is actually pretty reasonable. It just has to be enforced.
William
and
Timmons.
It probably takes.
Sorry, I'm up against a break. Can you hang on for a sec? And we'll come right back.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back. I am discussing, I've got a couple more questions with you. Representative William Timmons versus the TSA at the Greenville Airport, coming up next. Representative William Timmons is back with us this morning. Representative Timmons, I just want to be clear because I was a little confused about something last year. We were talking about this situation with you and the TSA that's gotten so much attention. When we started the interview, if I understood you correctly, you said you did not file a complaint against the TSA, or did you? It sounded like you said both things, and I want to be clear on,
I never filed a complaint against the TSA. So, I mean, listen, there's just a lot of misinformation out there because it's 55 days out from the primary. So, look, people are saying ridiculous things. It was a non-issue. We definitely had a disagreement. But, again, the TSA agents are doing the best that they can. And I think additional confirmation of the protocols that are necessary is helpful going forward.
Great. I want to ask you this, too. Look, because as I was reading this, I could see all the pieces of this coming together for you. Because you've been to the border. You've stood there as a Congress member and literally watched Joe Biden's Border Patrol, in violation of federal law, as Mark Green, Senator Green, explained to us yesterday, just let illegals walk in. And now we find out they put them on planes and they can't even verify who they are and they fly them in, right? But you, a congressman, you get pulled, what'd you say, 6 times in 6 months for extra screening by the TSA? I mean, I can see that making you mad. Can you comment on that? I mean, absurdity of it?
So, Tara, it's actually even worse than you said. Not only are they putting them on flights, they don't have driver's license. They don't have any identification whatsoever, which, by the way, American citizens are not allowed to board planes without. They give them this little manila envelope after they process them, and process them within really 12 to 36 hours because there's so many people, they can't actually keep them longer than that. And they ask them basic questions, and they give them a court date. They give them a damn cell phone. because they say they're giving them a cell phone because they want to be able to track them and they want to be able to assure that they're going to come back for their court date, which they never do. So, I mean, look, what's going on at the southern border is absolutely absurd. The fact that the Senate is discussing not taking up the articles of impeachment for Secretary Mayorkas is just absolutely ridiculous. 8.5 million people have crossed the southern border illegally. The estimates are really around $500 to $750 billion is what it's costing the American people, just in terms of the additional stress on our social safety net programs, on government benefits that are being used, on our tax dollars. It's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. It really, it's madness. It's madness.
Well, William Timmons, I'm so glad that you were able to call in today to clarify what happened with the TSA. And I know the humiliation that you would have felt with the pat down, because I've had that pat down and I feel like it's purely punitive because I get it every time I fly. And I have to leave early because I know I'm going to get pulled as a conservative talk show host. It's been going on for years. And I also know that it'll traumatize my children or my dad or whoever's flying with me, because they're going to get it too, just as punishment for being with me. I'm curious, you said you were talking to other members of Congress. Could you give us a little more detail about that? That they tell you, Representative Timmons, that they feel they're being punished for their votes, and that's why they are being selected for extra pat downs at the airport.
So there's actually two members that every time they get selected for additional screening, they put the time, the date, and the location on their phone, and they showed me the list is quite extensive. So look, I mean, random, statistically speaking, should not occur as often as it is being. I'm not saying there's a list. I would be very clear. I'm not saying there's a list, but, it is very suspicious that certain people are being subject to additional random inspections more than others. So, I do think in my meeting with the TSA administrator, he did say that the additional, the new machine is far more accurate, and there are no random inspections on the new machine. There's only random selections on the traditional metal detectors. I guess that's moving in the right direction. But again, we have to respect people's privacy while making them secure. There's got to be a balance. There's just got to be a balance. And I just think subjecting people to forced physical pat downs that are often quite invasive is just not, that's just not the America I want to live in.
William Timmons, did you ask the TSA administrator that you met with about this incident, if there is a list, if you're on it? Did you ask for any explanation of, like you said, it's been six times in the last, ever so many months. Did you ask, hey, why is this happening to me? Did they have any explanation for you?
I did not ask about lists. He did say that seems suspicious a number of times, but I don't think he was implying that there was any malintent. I can't speak to any lists, but it is definitely suspicious.
And again, just to be clear, you were very polite to the TSA folks on the ground at the Greenville Airport.
I was definitely annoyed, but I was not rude. Again, protocols matter, and we should not be subjected to invasive physical screenings randomly. But now everyone on this radio station knows that if you are selected for random screening, you are entitled to a private screening with no physical contact. That is the protocol. That has been the protocol. So, it's good that we're able to get this message out there and make sure that people know their rights.
Well, I'm glad you've told me that, because I'm getting ready to fly again on vacation, and I know I'm going to get to full money. So I will say that I want the private screening with no physical contact, like Representative Timmons is getting from now on. Thank you, Representative Timmons, for calling in. You are always welcome to call in to the show, okay?
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You too.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.